The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Katie Nipawaki, A Wildflower in the Wilderness, inviting people to sit at the table of my disabled life. I can still see the golden afternoon of my first tea party like it was only yesterday. I swung open the cottage gate. In the center of a secret garden, surrounded by dense evergreen hedgerows, a buffet table set beneath the spotlight of the sun, awaiting guests. An elegant tablecloth in a rosy shade of silken sand was draped in symmetrical fashion with ceramic pots of all colors and styles madly scattered atop it. There were tall vessels with thin spouts, and potbelly urns filled with sugar and jam, each puffing with glee and dancing in time to lively music. An arrangement of grand chairs transformed guests from ordinary to extraordinary, distinguished as royalty from distant lands. I sat in a purple chair whose back billowed proudly around me in the same presentation of a blooming peacock, and my spine rose tall like the stem of a wildflower at morning's first light. My tea party played out in vivid scenes of nonsensical delight. I turned 6 that year. I was healing from my first hip surgery. It was a recovery process that landed me in a hospital bed for several weeks, with a pink cast that traversed my body from pelvis to toes and transformed me into a pint-sized movie critic. In sweet oblivion, I reveled in a world of chocolate milk, popsicles, and crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, while my favorite movies fed the hurricane of imagination stirring within my mind, one of which was Disney's Alice in Wonderland. 6 is a whimsical age. The sky is always open, the veil between dimensions thinner than skin. We build Empyrean treehouses from tired old wood and magnificent castles from frail bits of scattered shoreline. We live in a flood of watercolors where labels seldom adhere and have no real staying power. I required round-the-clock care, but I didn't feel like a burden as a kid, nor did I feel the weight of SMA on my shoulders. I wasn't apologetic for my disabled life, since I didn't know I had anything to be sorry for. So far, I hadn't identified with my disability. We had formally met, but nobody had yet suggested that I should treat it like the uncool kid on a playground and abandon it swiftly. Once the haberdashery magic of childhood was tailored and retrofitted into nothing more than a costume of quirky memories, I found myself confronted with the complexity of modern relationships. Looking back on particular episodes of my teen and adulthood years, I noticed myself immersed in various relationship styles that didn't serve my mental health in a positive manner. These relationships, friendships, familial, employment, academic, and romantic endeavors alike, were malnourished, unbalanced, and void of uplifting reciprocity. At times, science blatantly pointed me toward a spell in the timeout corner for being a strain on the norm, and at times, I thought I needed to keep any and every person in my life, no matter how toxic the relationship, out of fear I didn't have the upper hand in the situation. While I may not have had any say in the waves of hardships that crashed my enchanting garden party with SMA, I do have a say in the allies who deserve a seat next to me at the table of my life. Becoming older, I revert to the speech of my childlike heart and wondrous sense of lucidity. I've grown less and less sorry for my disabled experience, while becoming curiouser and curiouser about my ability to weed out the negativity and invite only those who elevate my sense of worth. People are resources. Living with a disability, we sometimes feel compelled to remain a peacemaker, quietly retaining any resources we might have. We sometimes feel obligated to hold gratitude in relationships or social constructs that actually impose great disservice to our mental and emotional health. No matter who you are, disabled or not, you're worthy of spirited, empathetic, and encouraging guests at your party. You're worthy of people who recognize the gifts you bring forth to the world. And if you look into someone's eyes, whether family, friend, or acquaintance, and the reflection you see makes you feel like less instead of more, like an albatross instead of a unicorn, travel to a brave place within yourself and excuse them from your table. Excuse them with a voice resounding of conviction and gumption. Their empty chair might be intimidating at first. You might swallow a little harder as the earth seems to grow in shadows around you, but the feeling won't last forever. Acts of self-love are a calling to others, a string of lanterns in the dark. Paint the roses whatever color suits you and invite only the most deserving guests to a seat at your table.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today content creator. I hope you're enjoying the 31 days of SMA as much as I am. We've featured some fabulous stories and have more to come. In case you missed them, here's a brief synopsis of some of the most recent ones. Scarlett, a 4-year-old girl whose mom has SMA, tells us what it's like to have a dad that walks and a mom whose, quote, legs don't work like mine do. I have to admit, this was a super sweet story to read. To see Scarlett's perspective on having a parent with SMA and what it means to her was heartwarming. In 2014, Allie Remus had a change in heart after following disability activists online. Moved by their activism and change, she realized her days of hiding behind her computer screen as a graphic designer no longer fulfilled her. So, she decided to take the leap and share her story in hopes of helping others. What came out of it was a new career path, endless hours of schooling and multiple degrees, and newfound success in helping others, specifically the disabled and LGBTQ+ communities, achieve their life goals. Today, Allie is working for a telehealth organization and simultaneously earning her clinical licensure. Allie's story is inspiring. It takes a lot of gumption to entirely shift gears in your career when you don't exactly know what the future holds. A good reminder to take the chance to pursue what your heart desires. Have you been in a situation similar to Allie's before? Tandon takes us on his journey in becoming a young professional. Initially, he was misdiagnosed in his home country of Bhutan. Tandon moved to the States with the intention of getting cured, but it was the doctors here that discovered he had SMA type 3. Since then, Tandon had to learn how to accept such a vastly different and incurable disease. In his words, he tells us what that experience was like. On a sort of unrelated note, his service dog is super cute. Check out the picture on our website. Reading this next story from the Saylor family, I completely relate to the moment you realize you could do more if you knew more. Because this family learned that lesson relatively early, it made a difference in their daughter Britt's well-being. Being proactive in her respiratory care led to living beyond expectations. What lessons do you wish you had known earlier in life? Are you proactive in your health? Beth Whidbey uses a passion for singing to be proactive in her health. It's not only brought her great joy, but keeps her lung function strong. Possibly to her husband's dismay, because the household is rarely quiet, especially since she's passed her passion for singing down to her daughter. Do you ever find yourself apologizing for the things you can't do? I've fallen into this trap one too many times, as has our next contributor. Challenging ableism is the topic Tristram Peters talks about in his feature. As a kid, he did everything he could not to appear disabled, because of the stigma surrounding disability, even foregoing things like wearing a lap tray and apologizing way too often. He was told all of the things he couldn't do. After realizing all of the things he can do, he's no longer hiding who he is. His mental health is stronger for it. Today you'll be able to read how Pia Neuschmid came to express herself through art. Although I don't have her talent, I can relate when she speaks about her canvas getting smaller and finding mediums that work best for her. She uses art as meditation and credits it for maintaining the strength she has. Find all of these great stories and more at smanewstoday.com. That's all I have for you today. We'll talk again soon. Bye for now.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.